Welcome to this class on creative writing. I would like to invite you to move to this end of the bench so you can see the board better. It's good to be here with you. I want to draw your attention to this here at the start. True or false, good writers are born writers. Probably have an opinion already, but as we progress, think about that. The topic description used the verse from 2 Timothy where Paul says, the cloak that I left in Troas and the books bring along, but please bring the parchments. And I'm just going to give a disclaimer that I don't know for sure if the parchments were his writing tablet, but I think there's a good chance that it was. That is fascinating coming from someone who, what fraction of the New Testament do you think was authored by Paul? Someone throw out a fraction.
1/4.
Okay, just over 1/4. So he had some parchments with him and he was doing a lot of writing. I am going to read a couple poems that come from people in my class. I don't see any of them here. But this one is entitled You Can. This is written by my sister-in-law in 2020, Carrie Ropp. Oh, brothers, you can get a deer. Just go right on out there. There might be one near. Just aim with precision. Stay steady and still. Get rid of your fever, and shoot it you will. Make sure it's a big buck with antlers widespread, so that if you mount it, good job will be said. And this one by Jana Bechtel. Do you all remember in literature, Perspectives of Truth, Little Lamb, who made thee? Dost thou know who made thee? You remember that poem? Perspectives of Truth. This is off of that template. Great white cloud. Great white cloud, who formed you? Do you know who formed you? Gave your water droplets birth? Placed the billows in your girth? Piled your whiteness up so high, set you floating in the sky, smoothed your floor out, flat and sleek, bade the rain from you to leak. Great white cloud, who formed you? It is God who formed you. And another one based off the same template entitled Spring. This was written by Austin Miller, who is here, I believe. Gentle spring, we love you. Do you know we love you? For your giving gentle showers, for your brilliant springing flowers. Green grass, velvet growing fast, new life everywhere at last you have given. Winter snow, melted so that things can grow. Gentle spring, we love you. Everywhere we love you. Gentle spring, you teach us. Gentle spring, you teach us. Just as snow and ice must go when your warming breezes blow, Jesus warms cold, icy hearts. Makes the sin and hate depart. Breaks the bonds of lust and pride and becomes our life and guide. Gentle spring, we love you. Everywhere we love you. It's pretty pleasing to me to see that kind of thing come back as a teacher, right? Well, to get started here, head your paper, your lined paper. Everyone have a writing device? I have a couple pens. Raise your hand if you need something to write with. Okay, anyone need the lined paper? Raise your hand if you need the lined paper. Do we have any extras? Raise your hand high and just pass it wherever it's needed. Any more pens? Pens over here. All right. Once you've got your paper, head it. Put a title in the middle, your name on the left, date on the right. And I'm not going to give you much time. I'm going to give you 3 minutes here. And I want you to write a sentence starting with because, a complete sentence, and another complete sentence starting with the preposition of. So because and of, two sentences. 3 minutes, here we go. Once you're done, raise your hand, and I might stop this sooner just for the sake of time. How many done at this point? Okay, I'm gonna stop it at 2 minutes. You have a couple seconds yet. All right, time's up. If you're in the middle of a sentence, go ahead and finish it. All right, somebody from this side, I wanna hear the because sentence. Go ahead, someone.
Because we are suited in our creative writing course, we are compelled to write.
Okay, good, good. Over here, nice and loud.
Because of the wayward tendency of the dog, there was consternation in the camp.
All right. Okay, do they need a comma in those sentences? Yes, no? Yes? Uh-huh. That's one thing I teach my students. Often if you start a sentence with because, there's going to be a comma in there after that clause. All right, the of sentence. Okay, someone's ready over here.
Of course we got tired.
Of course we got tired. Over here.
Of all the people groups in the world, those of us in the new world are definitely the more privileged.
Okay, thank you. So what I did there is threw at you the challenge of writing a complete sentence in a little bit more challenging way. And some students really struggle with that. So you can sneak in simply learning how to write a complete sentence, some of the more challenging aspects of it in your short creative writing exercises. All right, let's go on and talk about creative writing just a bit. We come with a bag full of memories. Raise your hand if you have relatively good memories of writing in school. Okay, good. What was that?
Depends when in school.
All right. my experience, I would say it wasn't emphasized just a whole lot. It's interesting to have Sister Annette here. I remember in, I think it was sixth grade, you had a creative writing exercise for, I'm not sure if it was for the whole school or for if it was for room two, which is where I was. But I remember enjoying that immensely. It was not until this last school year that I actually implemented an ongoing creative writing plan. And last year was my 11th year of teaching. So it's something that does come difficult for me. I do feel passionate and excited about it, but somewhat green. I enjoy writing, but it's hard work for me. And I think it's because I haven't done a whole lot of it. So that brings me to my thesis, which is on your papers, and that is, regardless of your experience, it is possible to implement a creative writing plan that your students will enjoy and grow thereby. Let's go on and talk about why it's important. The first reason I have here is that God values the written word. This is obvious. He chose to have it written down. Obviously, it's communicated verbally from generation to generation, but he chose to have it written down. The second one is that ideas in writing live beyond the writer. Sometimes I remind my students when we're reading an old book, look, this author lived back then, and we are reaping the fruits of that today. Thirdly, developed creativity is both satisfying and enjoyable. And I'm talking here about the power to write, all right? Once you have done something enough that you feel competent in taking, in this case, literary tools and using them, at that point it becomes exciting and satisfying. And so that's where we want to go with our students, is get them used to writing and using the tools, literary tools, so that they have the power to write. Next, it sharpens our communication skills. Effective communication is power, all right? It's not powerful to stand before your class and flub up in your ability to explain a concept. Being able to write something out sharpens our communication skills. And by the way, we want more than hard-working wage earners coming from our schools, right? That is good, but we want people who can explain the gospel and talk about that with confidence to people. Something I feel passionate about because it has been a struggle of mine to communicate confidently. I'll give you opportunity here. Reasons that you think creative writing is important beyond what I've shared. Okay, well, let's go on and debunk some myths. Myth number one, yeah, it's this one right here. Good writers are born writers. I find it so difficult because I just was not born with that gift. Sound familiar? Either personally or from your students. False. Not true. Johann Sebastian Bach, one of the greatest composers, said, "Most anyone can do what I have done if they're willing to work hard." All right, that's a pretty incredible statement, but there's a lot of truth there. Second myth is that writing is just too hard. All right, well, the truth is, maybe your student has had a poor experience, maybe you have. Maybe all they did was research papers, and maybe they didn't have a foundation of writing laid before that. Maybe they'd never been given a writing assignment in a bite size. All right, maybe it's been a big one that they had to cram in. More about that later. The third one is that good writing needs to be perfect the first time. All right, this is one where I stumble a lot. I'm always pulling out my eraser and, you know, perfecting that and thinking about it. Doesn't need to be perfect the first time. Rough drafting can actually be fun if you can forget about your eraser. We'll practice with that a bit. Any other myths about writing that are mindsets that make it difficult?
Anything over 100 words is too hard.
Okay, so size of it.
Yeah. Because often you get to that like 100, 150 word point, and just the sheer amount of words you're asking of them sounds too big, but it's a bigger number.
Sure. Okay. A big assignment or anything over 100 words is what was mentioned. Anything else? Well, let's keep on going here. I want to share an analogy with you that really helps bring this out. You take a young cook, 12 years old, and she cooks by the recipe. She makes a meal that's palatable, and her family can enjoy it. Perhaps not a lot of confidence there in, you know, deviating from the recipe. You take someone who's cooked for 30 or 40 years, which means, you know, three meals a day, day in, day out. After a while, that cook is not married to the recipe anymore, and they, my wife, for example, in working with bread, it amazes me sometimes how she'll say, well, it just, the dough, it doesn't feel right. It needs this. Well, can you imagine a recipe saying, well, you know, if the dough doesn't feel right, then you need to be thinking about the temperature in the house, the humidity, the elevation you live at, and, you know, if this, then you need to do this. Well, you couldn't put that all on a recipe. You couldn't explain it. But it is a skill that comes only by making bread time after time after time. And after a while, you just know what you're doing. You know when it doesn't feel right. All right. The point being is that we have to write over and over and over in order to become skillful. We can't start with book reports and research papers. There has to be bite-sized things going on time and again. So that brings me to the next point, or to wrap that up. Practice is the premise. And that's my main emphasis today. I'm not going to go much deeper than that because this is one workshop, so I'm focusing more on inspiring you, especially if there's some of you who haven't done creative writing with your class, to make it look possible and get you started. So let's talk about a creative writing plan. What should be our goals? Well, goal number one, obviously, is to get your students writing, right? Practice at communication between the brain and the pencil. And that can be incredibly difficult if you're not used to it, all right? Putting what you're thinking on paper. So our first goal is to get them writing, and that is the brain being able to express itself via the pencil. I think a second goal should be to practice daily, or at least two or three times a week. This past year I did three times a week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. All right. Third goal should be to sneak in a few other concepts, like heading your paper, and how to head your paper, and head your paper anew every time you get your next assignment. Re-head your paper. All right, number four is join them some of the time. This past year, I tried to join them most of the time, and it bore good fruit. I enjoyed it. Number five, there should be a balance of fun and serious, and you'll more about that later. Number six, focus on a culture of reading, noticing, and praising good writing and technique. For example, and this is something I love to do in literature class, when you're discussing a story and how the, and you're talking about discussing with your class how the writer brought this point out, and you know, how did you feel? Notice how convincing they were, and then talk about how did they accomplish that, and then praise the writer and make sure your students understand that that's a big deal, the power of what that writer did. Uncle Tom's Cabin, for example, how many have read that in your class? Or, but you've read it personally. All right. That is an extremely powerful book, and I know it's such a common title, but her skill is just, I marvel at it every time I read it, and I've enjoyed reading that to my class and pointing that out along the way. All right, I have an example of a weekly rolling plan. This is important because it cuts down your preparation. If you can come up with something that will just roll on from week to week, then the planning is done. I planned this one by the month, what I was going to do by the day or by the week. So Monday, have them write inspiration from Sunday. Tuesday, writing complete sentences like I had you do a bit ago. Wednesday, a continued story. More about that later. Thursday, journaling, and more on journaling later. And Friday, copying scripture or poetry and adding art. Here's an example of that. One of my favorite verses. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee. I think that's the last half of a verse from Psalm 4 or 5. Anyway, they can write it. They can add their own creative artwork to it. All right, so create your plan in advance by the month or the whole year. Next point is use a timer and keep creative writing times short. I think that's important, especially if this is a fairly new thing for your class. I was talking to Mr. Ray here, and he said that he does 15 minutes a day, right? And it sounded to me like his class, they really enjoy that. So, but it's important. The point here is to make it bite-sized. Whatever, wherever your class is at, to make it bite-sized for them. All right, I have a list of additional ideas there. We are going to do... Yeah, we've got some time here. We're going to do number one right now. I want you in groups of four, and I'm not going to take the time to group you. You figure that out. But you're going to write a continued story. So each of you will write a sentence about using the word, the name Johnny, in the sentence. You'll pass it to someone else. They will add a sentence also using his name until it gets back to you. All right, so groups of four, or if it doesn't come out right, make your own group number. Yes?
Do you have any extra handouts?
I think we do. Is it just the line one or the other one? Anyone else? Everyone have the lined paper?
Yeah.
Okay, so normally for my class, I would do, I think this last year I did 4 or 5 minutes for this. I'm going to give you four, and you see if you can get it done in four. Go ahead and start. And some of you are going to read this when you're done. So everyone writes a sentence about Johnny every time.
We use the word Johnny.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You
all write a sentence about Johnny, pass it on, and it gets added to. So So yeah, so all of you should write. Yes,
so
and then.
Also, we'll have four, like.
Yes, each of you will have your own.
Okay,
each of you will have your own Johnny story when this is done.
Okay.
Alright, there's 35 seconds left. Now listen while you're finishing with half of one ear. When we're done, I want some of you to read, but I want you to be on the ball. We're not going to critique these severely, so there's your time. If you're in the middle of the last sentence, go ahead and finish it. But I don't want to waste time in having the stories here. All right, so raise your hand if you got done. Raise your hand if you have your story back. Okay. All right. Well, that's enough. So over here, go ahead, Ray. Nice and loud.
Johnny was an ancient philosopher with an out-of-touch name. Every afternoon, Johnny strode to the town square to hear the latest and the greatest. This morning, the bell tolled mournfully of the death of the last caliph as Johnny listened absentmindedly. Suddenly, someone tapped Johnny on his shoulder.
Okay. All right, over here. Anyone done? Okay, let's have another one from over here.
Johnny liked to play ball. Johnny's athletic skill showed far above his peers. One afternoon, Johnny hit 5 home runs. more than he'd ever done before. Johnny's friends noticed he was far too puffed up over his achievements.
Okay. Anyone from over here? I'm gonna ask somebody. Raise your hand if there are some who are done. Okay, go ahead. I can't see your name. Nice
Johnny,
and loud.
Johnny jumps off the trampoline, landing in the tall grass in a heap. Way over her, all the way to the neighbors. Johnny lay still for a moment, but a movement to his left knee and jumped to his feet. His heart pounding, Johnny rolling around faster.
All right. Okay, so given you the word Johnny, sometimes getting started is difficult. Giving the students a word can help. And usually there's plenty of laughter and creativity with this one. This is a fun one. My class enjoyed it a lot. Okay, any comments about that particular exercise or comments up to this point? Okay, let's do another one now. So rehead your paper, and I'm going to give you 2 minutes. And this one we are going to call a word blitz. And this is to see how much you can write in 2 minutes. And it is amazing. Students will amaze themselves how many words they can write in a certain amount of time. You may write about whatever as long as it's decent. Current issues, how you feel, what's going on today, whatever. Just create your own narrative. All right, so ready?
Question.
Yes.
They're supposed to be complete sentences, not necessarily
yes.
just...
This is not a list
out.
Of words. Thank you. It will be helpful if you quickly tally at the end of each line how many words they are, so at the end it's you can count them more quickly. So, okay, ready, get set, go. Oh, and no erasers allowed in this exercise. All right, time. So stop wherever you are. Go ahead and tally, and then I'm going to ask some of you to share how many you got. Over 30. Over 40. 50 plus. 60 plus. 70 plus. I have one over here and one over here. 80 plus. 90 plus?
No.
80 some. Okay, very good. I won't ask you to read those. So going on down the list of under additional ideas, number 12, journaling, I feel that that is an important one. I think it's important to be able to write down thoughts and feelings about life. For me, that has been a healing, a tool of healing for me in difficult experiences. There is a certain vulnerability and honesty required to write down your feelings. Also, writing prayers does the same thing. It requires you to, it brings you to a new level of honesty to actually write out a prayer. And I have my students do that, and that is not something I require them to read or that I necessarily look at. Also journaling about scripture, writing down what they think a passage is communicating to them. I think that's important. All right. I think we're going to finish this up and then we can have discussion. Let's go on to point F, grading. So there, I'm sure we could argue this different ways. My opinion for short creative writing classes is no grading. So grading, no. Feedback, yes. Let's flesh that out a little bit. So number one, I think if you are having them do something that is appropriate for you to look over, that you should glance over it and they should know that you read it. Put a smiley face if no comment. Try to comment once in a while on something that you liked. All right. Number two, require class feedback frequently. I think that is important. So sometimes after we write, I will ask the class, okay, what did you like about what Steve wrote? Do you have any critiques for him? Because sometimes what we write is very clear to us, but it doesn't communicate well to other people. So they need to have feedback based on how other people perceive or understand what they just wrote. And coming from peers, it does a little something different than feedback from the teacher. All right, penmanship, probably not. Number four, have a creative writing party. This could be an hour set aside of food, sharing your favorite entry from creative writing class in the year so far. They could also share a favorite selection from a favorite author. Number five, have a monthly or quarterly school writing fest where everyone shares a brief original entry. And number six, publish extensive projects. What do I mean? Well, something I frequently do, especially with book reports, research papers, is make copies of, have the students do a final editing after I have graded it, then have them copy it and put it in the church mailboxes for the rest of the congregation to read. All right, I'm pretty much done. I do want to give some credit here. So a lot of this material, do I have additional sources on the handout? Okay, so When Students Grown and Getting It Done, Implementing a Creative Writing Plan by Nathan Yoder, who is here, in Light Lines of Fall and Winter of 21, I would highly recommend reading those articles if you have access to Christian Light's Light Lines. Second one is Journal Writing 101 by Dina Swanson, and I misspelled her name. There should only be one N. You can find that at the Doc for Learning. She has a passion for writing and a lot of great ideas. I would highly recommend that one. On teaching writing, familiar with this one? Use it? Some of you? Okay. This one's full of ideas. Very good. The Elements of Style by Strunk and White. How many of you have read, have used this? Right? It's a great book. And part of it is because it's written so, it is written in an appealing way and a way that is very easy to read and humorous. I want to read to you a selection just to illustrate. By the way, E.B. White, who, what other book did he author, or she, I'm not sure. He, thank you.
Charlotte's Web.
Yeah. Okay, so you know it's written well. Rule 14 here in the section of An Approach to Style is avoid fancy words. Sometimes students will, you know, they enjoy writing and they seem to have a gift and they start, thinking that they're you know, they're up there quite a bit and they'll take their liberties. Listen to this. Gut is a lustier noun than intestine, but the two words are not interchangeable because gut is often inappropriate, being too coarse for the context. Never call a stomach a tummy without a good reason. If you admire fancy words, if every sky is beauteous, if you are tickled by discombobulate, you will have a bad time with reminder 14. What is wrong, you ask, with beauteous? No one knows for sure. There is nothing wrong, really, with any word. All are good, but some are better than others. A matter of ear, a matter of reading the books that sharpen the ear. And that's what I was talking about with feeling the bread dough and knowing what's going on there. Okay, this matter of ear, which only comes with experience. The line between the fancy and the plain, between the atrocious and the felicitous, is sometimes alarmingly fine. The opening phrase of the Gettysburg Address is close to the line, at least by our standards today. And Mr. Lincoln, knowingly or unknowingly, was flirting with disaster when he wrote 87 years ago. The president could have got into his sentence with the plain 87, a saving of two words and less of a strain on the listener's powers of multiplication. But Lincoln's ear must have told him to go ahead with 87. By doing so, he achieved cadence while skirting the edge of fanciness. Suppose he had blundered over the line and written, in the year of our Lord, 1776. His speech would have sustained a heavy blow. Or suppose he had settled for 87. In that case, he would have gotten into his introductory sentence too quickly. The timing would have been bad. The question of ear is vital. There's a lot of good, easy to read stuff in that book. Go ahead. Any points that you want to make or comments? Speak from your own experience.
I have a question. You did your creative writing class last year, you said. So did you cut anything else out of your normal, what you do?
I think the answer is no, a cautious no. I was mindful of the fact that I was entering something in. I did it for 4 minutes after first recess. We came in, as soon as the bell had rung, we did creative writing for 4 minutes. And I stuck pretty religiously to 4 minutes. If you're having fun, you can go on for 10 minutes easily. So it's very important to time it and cut it off. Otherwise, yeah, you'll have issues.
So you were able, by just focusing really hard, more or less put it in and do everything else as well.
I think that's correct.
Yeah.
I would say, though, be mindful that you are adding something, and you know your students. Anything else?
Well, to
conserve some class time, we usually do bell ringers before school. So the students come in, and I would have like a prompt up on the board. This was like 40 Wednesdays. So they have their assignment, they have their tasks up on the board, and they need to complete it by the first bell. If they don't, then by first break, and then after break, we would read off some of those, and you know, an occasional laugh or like a discussion.
Uh-huh. Okay. So a prompt on the board, you're saying. Yeah. Thank you. Was that the last bell? Well, I'm going to close the class. Thank you for your